Hey, this morning, let's get started and then we'll jump in together. This morning, we're talking about what it means to love God with all of our minds. So this, we've been in a series called Refresh, Loving God with Your Everything. We started off talking about what does it mean to love God with all your heart. Last week, Wes taught us what's it mean to love God with all your soul. And today, we're going to talk about what it means to love God with all of our mind. Before we do that, let's take a moment and let's pray. And as we pray, we're also going to pray for the sound system back there, all right? So let's pray. Father, we love you. And we just give you praise for your kindness, for your grace towards us. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit this morning to speak to those in this room. God, I pray that you would go above and before all of the technology, Father, that we could just hear your word clearly where we are today. You want to shape our minds so that, Father, we think thoughts like you, so that we live life like you, and Father, that it would just transform us from the inside out. And so I pray today you would give us the mind of Christ in a deeper measure. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are movie buffs in the room? How many of you are big movie fans, big fans of cinema, watching movies? I love a great movie. One of my favorite things to do on the day off is I like to watch a good movie, get some popcorn. I like to kick back, enjoy a good movie. That's one of the things I love to do. How many of you have, what I do with it? How many of you have one of these little things? This is a Roku. How many of you have like a Fire Stick or like an Apple TV device? These little things are pretty awesome because housed in this little gadget is every movie, every TV show, every video, every music album or song that you could ever want. All you have to do is plug it into the TV and you have unlimited access to whatever form of entertainment that you want. And the reason I chose to open the sermon this morning with a Roku device is because I think it perfectly illustrates what the Bible says you have access to as a Christian. You see, this morning, we're going to see that you have access to every thought, every inclination, and every desire in the mind of God. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It'll be on the screen for you. It says this: "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they're only discerned through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" And look at this phrase: "But we have the what? The mind of Christ." Here's what I want you to hear this morning. As a believer, you have been given unlimited access to all of the thoughts, all of the desires, all of the affections, all of the inclinations of the mind of God. Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And Paul says that God has given us unlimited access to the very thought life and mind of Christ. And the thought of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, is unfathomable. The knowledge of Jesus is vastly superior than the combined libraries of every library throughout all of human history. It is infinitely more insightful than the collective thinking of every great thinker who has ever lived. The mind of Jesus, he is a perfect genius who offers perfect grace. He speaks in truth and in love. And this morning we have access to that thought life. And so my question this morning is, are we putting the mind of Christ to use? You know, it'd be like having a sweet Ferrari, but you never take it out of the garage. It's like having awesome KitchenAid mixer, but you never bake anything. Are we a people who have access to the mind of God? Do we think God's thoughts? Are we engaged with our mind to love God with all that we are? So here's the main idea this morning. It's very simple. When you engage your mind, you experience his love. If you want to write that down, when you engage your mind, you experience his love. And I want you to lean in and listen to me for a couple specific reasons. Number one is this: I want you to hear my heart. God wants to give you a personal experience of his love. He wants to give you personal knowledge of his goodness, of his grace, of his faithfulness. He doesn't want you to live off of what other people tell you about him. He wants you to experience him for yourself. This morning, he wants to give you the power to disarm the lies that the enemy would tell you. Some of you have come in here this morning and you're captive in some of the enemy's thinking. Some of you came in here this morning and you're really wondering if you're going to be stuck in the place you're in forever. And I want you to know that because of God's grace, you will not be. Some of you come in here this morning and you're wondering, am I good enough to be used by God? Could he really love me like they tell me that he loves me? And I want you to know with 100% confidence, he loves you that much. Some of you have come in here this morning and there is a fear that you're never going to be put to use by God. And I want you to know, you're good enough to be used by him because Jesus Christ has bought you as his own and he has a plan for your life. And if you have the mind of God, what can happen in your life is you can start to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. You can start to disarm the lies and the mistruths that the enemy would say about you. And so I want you to listen today as we learn about how to love God with our mind, how to engage in our mind in loving God so that you can experience these things. Because God wants to renew your mind. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to download his thoughts to you. He wants to deepen your faith. He wants to saturate your consciousness with his perfect love. But it's only when you engage your mind that you experience his love. Friends, he doesn't want us to just sort of casually float through life. He doesn't want us to leave the Ferrari locked up in the garage and never take it for a spin. He wants our mind to be engaged day in and day out as we learn to love him more. And what you'll find is as you do, you'll experience more and more of him. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you this morning about what does it look like to engage your mind in loving God. And so I have a little acronym for you that I hope will help you keep some of this in your memory that you could take notes. The first point is this, letter M, make a priority to learn about the one you love. Make a priority to learn about the one that you love. So my wife's name is Hannah, and if you see her, she's very pregnant right now. We're giving out free belly rubs in the lobby after the service is over. $2 is going to the baby fund. $5, she upped the price. Sorry. You know, the more I've gotten to know Hannah, we've dated since we were 15, so we've known each other for a long time. We're both turning 30 this year, so we've gone, like, we're at the point now where we've known each other the equal amount that we didn't know each other. And we started dating when we were in high school, and Hannah, you know, we had that typical high school relationship where it's like, we talked on the phone. I don't know how we talked on the phone as much as we did. Like, it'd be, we'd get home from school, we'd talk until, like, 6, from, like, 3 to 6, then we'd go eat dinner, and then when our parents thought we were in bed, we'd sneak and call each other and talk till like 2 a.m. And I don't, you know, you only talk about so much, like what's your favorite color? You know, you run out of stuff to talk about eventually, but somehow we just kept talking and we just wanted to know everything about each other. As we got married, I was amazed that there were still some things I did not know about Hannah. Stuff that really like baffled me, to be honest. She gets up at 7 a.m. on Saturdays to clean the whole house. Like I just hear her little feet just pittering around the house and she's like scrubbing, deep cleaning the toilet, the bathtub, like wiping down mirrors. And I'm laying in bed just laughing like, what is she doing? She's crazy. Like this, where I come from, that is unheard of. Our house was a barnyard. We don't do cleaning on Saturday mornings. The other thing that I found really funny about Hannah is she locks doors like before you even get a chance to shut them. I don't know if it's paranoia or anxiety or what, but to the point that when I would take out the trash when we first got married, I would take out the trash and I'd come back and the door would be locked. And I'm knocking like, can you let me in? Like, why did you lock the door? Or like, we'll be in Mason and she's like, did you lock the car door? I'm like, honey, I'm pretty sure they don't want our Ford Fiesta out here in Mason. I'm pretty sure we're good, you know? She's just a funny, funny girl. But here's the thing. The more that I've come to know her, the more my heart just grows in fondness for her. Hannah's really funny. Like, she has a lot of insight that because she's quiet and because she's a little shy, she doesn't share. Like, I'm surprised she shouted up, raise it to 5. Like, that's funny. She's funny. She makes me laugh. The other thing that I love about Hannah is she's considerate. My wife wakes up thinking about people. Sometimes, and I don't know if this is good or bad, sometimes she can't sleep at night because she's so concerned with what's happening in other people's lives. And I love her generous, considerate heart. And all of that is years of coming to know her. And here's what I want you to see. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, and his thoughts are going to become your thoughts. And you're going to begin to approach the world the way God approaches the world. You've got to make an effort to know his heart, to know his mind. You've got to engage. There has to be a decision. I'm going to seek Jesus. So a couple weeks ago, we told you about a study that's really popular right now by the Center of Bible Engagement. And what they discovered is that 4 times a week in God's Word has the power to change your life. And one of the things I loved about that study is everybody can do 4 times a week. It can be challenging to say, I'm going to read the Bible every single day, and you should pursue that. But 4 times a week has the power to change you from the inside out. And here's what's crazy. As you seek God in His Word, as you make it a priority to learn about Him, stuff that seemed bizarre to you in the beginning is all of a sudden going to become some of your favorite things about Him. When you're thinking, man, I got to be generous and give my money and my time away, once you actually give and you start to see the fruit of generosity, it will become your favorite thing about following Jesus. Living authentically, I have to share my junk. I have to be honest about the bad stuff in my life and the good stuff. But when you're received and loved by people, it will become one of your favorite things about being a believer. All of a sudden, serving people will become your joy. These bizarre things will become your favorite things about Him. Also, things that you thought were incredibly impossible will start to define the core of your identity. Yes, He really does love you that much. Yes, He really can forgive you of all that. Yes, He really is that faithful. But friend, your mind won't believe or process these things if we're not making it a priority to learn everything about Him. And the reason we do that is because we love Him so much. It's our joy to know Him. It's not some chore. We believe that the God we serve is the most beautiful, wonderful being in all of the universe, and it is a privilege to know His name. Here's a second one. Inspect your thoughts in light of God's truth. This is a big one. If we're going to love God with all our mind, if we're going to engage our mind in following Jesus, one thing we've got to learn to do is we have to learn to think about what we think about. You have to think about what you think about. What thoughts are running through your mind on a daily basis? And here's the question you have to ask. Are those thoughts true? Are they helpful? Do they build up your faith? Or are you believing lies, deceits? Are you going through with these thoughts that are not helpful or fruitful to your walk? Look at what Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians. He says this, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." He says, there's not a thought that runs through our minds that we shouldn't be going, do you serve Christ or are you lying to me? Do you serve Christ or are you unfruitful to me? Are you building me up or are you tearing me down? He says, there's a battle going on in your life. Do you know that? Do you know that you are engaged on a daily basis, whether you are actively fighting or not, in spiritual warfare? That there is a battle in your life between believing what God says is true about you and what Satan would have you believe about you. And as believers, we have to process and take the time to go, what am I thinking about and is it true? So here's what I want to do. I want to take a little thought audit. I want you to think about your last week. And let's think about what you've been thinking about. So we got some scales on the screen. In the last week, on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to think about your thoughts. Have you been more worried or has your mind been at peace? Has there been anxiety and fear about your job, your future, your family, what God's doing in your finances, what He's doing in your life? Or have you been resting in the thought that I'm doing everything I can and I'm trusting God with the rest? And I believe that my future is secure in His hands. I believe that He loves me and He's going to work for me. If you find that this past week has been more worried than peaceful, here's what you do. You take that thought captive. You go, I don't have to be afraid because I'm in my Father's hands and He loves me. And you speak truth to yourself. You speak truth to your mind so that you don't think these thoughts that are unfruitful. Here's a second one. This past week, have you been more negative or more positive? And this is a big one for me because if I'm honest, when I don't spend time in God's Word, when I don't spend time not only just in God's Word, because I think that can become like a marker. That's really not the point. When I don't spend time seeking Jesus, when I don't spend time wanting his heart in my heart, I find that I become a really critical person. I find that I start to be suspicious of everybody's motives. Like, what are they really after? What do they really want from me? They're just using me. They don't really care about me. They just want what I can do for them. And I find that I start to just think the worst in people. And I wonder if that's you this morning. I wonder if your past week has been full of criticism and believing the worst in people, or do you have a positive lens to view the world through? Do you generally believe that God has a plan for the people around you? Do you generally believe that he loves you and that he's working all the time in your life? Here's another one. Ask yourself this. This past week, has my life been full of worldly thoughts or eternal thoughts? Am I focused on the things that I have, the things that I want, my possessions, my status in the world, or am I seeking to build up the kingdom? And here's why this is important. Here's why this is an important discipline. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Write that down. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. The way that you think is the way that you will live. What goes into your mind is what will come out in your life. In other words, if you have a critical negative mindset, you're going to approach the day in a way that's critical, where you're going to be suspicious of other people. If you generally believe today's not going to go well, life's just hard and it's not going to work out for me. Here's the truth. It probably will be, if that's your approach to life. However, if you can learn to take those thoughts captive, if you can learn to flip the script and go, you know what? I'm God's child. He loves me for who I am. All of a sudden, your day begins to open up in a new way and you start to see his blessings all the way around you. If you can flip the script and you go, you know what? Today is not going to be awful, because God's hand is in control of my life and I know that he's leading me. All of a sudden you see opportunity for the kingdom of God all around you. But the only way you get there, the only way it happens, is if we begin to inspect those thoughts. Are these true? Is the direction that I'm heading in the right one? Because friends, when your mindset is on God's faithfulness, you'll start to see his presence in the little things. When it's on his providence, you'll start to see, oh man, he blessed me there, he'll bless me here. He did that for me, he'll do this for me. Make every effort to learn about him. Inspect your thoughts. Here's the third one. Never settle for mere head knowledge. This is an important point for me. We talk about this a lot because I think this is one of the most important things about following Christ. We don't want you just to know about Jesus. We want you to know Jesus. I've told you this before. I know a lot of things about LeBron James, all right? I know that his mom is Gloria James. I know that he went to St. Vincent St. Mary High School in Akron, Ohio. I know he's a McDonald's All-American. I know that he's a three-time MVP, three-time champion, four-time MVP, rookie of the year. I know he married his high school sweetheart just like me. That means me and LeBron are a lot alike. I know he has three kids, Bronny Jr., Bryce, Ziri, the cutest little girl on Instagram. I know all kinds of things about LeBron, but I don't know LeBron. And I want you to know that as a church, one of my fears, and I'm being honest with you here, one of my fears for our church is that we would know a lot of stuff about Jesus, but we wouldn't know him. That we would know a lot of facts about him, but we wouldn't know the power of his presence and his ability to change our lives. Because I don't know about you, I don't just want to know a lot of stuff about Jesus, I want to know Jesus. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to participate in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death and somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to know Jesus. I don't just want to know that God can give me peace. I want to rest in the unfathomable peace that surpasses understanding. I don't just want to know that God loves me. I want to be secure and live in the confident assurance that I have nothing to prove because I'm a child of God. I don't just want to know that God's way is the best way. I want to walk in his plans for me, and I want to experience the joy and the freedom of knowing the plans that God has for me will lead me to the best life. And friend, all that can be yours today. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him. I don't want just head knowledge. I want the knowledge that's in my head to travel the 18 inches to my heart so that I can say that I know Jesus. And how does that happen? How do we go from head knowledge to heart knowledge? How do we go from knowing about Jesus to really knowing Jesus? The biblical word would be obedience. It's when we put into practice the truth that we know about Jesus. John 14, Jesus says, "The one who loves me is the one who has my commandments and keeps them. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them." And here's the best part. "I will reveal myself to them." Jesus says, friend, when you take the truth that's in your head and you apply it to your heart and you begin to walk in obedience to God's word, I will reveal myself to you. You will know me. You won't just know that I can give peace, but when you come before me and you pour your anxieties out before me and you trust that I love you and I have you in my hand, you will actually experience my peace. When you search his heart and you trust that what he says about you is true, then you'll know what it means to be God's child. When you actively take his commands and you walk in them, then he promises, "I'll show up. I'll reveal myself to you." Never settle for head knowledge. As a church, we want heart knowledge. And here's the last one. And this one, I think, is my favorite point of the morning. D, dial in on your day-to-day. Dial in on your day-to-day. And here's the question you got to ask yourself. Is the Ferrari sitting in the garage? Is the KitchenAid mixer sitting on the counter clean with dust? Or am I actively living out with the mind of Christ this gift that I've been given? What does it look like to dial in on your day-to-day? Let's talk about a few examples. What about worship? When we come here as a church to worship Jesus, do we come casually, just sort of strolling in, throwing the kids in the car, you know, like, "Get buckled in, we gotta get to church." And you bring them to church and you're just like shoving them, "Tammy, take these kids, I can't take them anymore." Or is there margin in my life to where when I come to worship, I'm coming expectantly. On my drive in, I'm going, "God, speak to our body today. Speak to our church today. As we worship and as we gather before you today, Father, we wanna hear from you, we wanna know you." At the conference we went to this weekend, Friday night, they had a worship session with Travis Cottrell. He's a worship leader from Nashville, and he was leading the group in worship, and he kind of brought the whole song down. It got quiet. He was just playing on the piano, and he walked out to the front of the stage, and he said, "I wonder why you came to worship tonight. I wonder what you're here for." And he said, "I want you to tell me why you're here to worship. Who is God to you?" And people from all around the room started shouting out all these different things. "He's my redeemer. He's my protector, he's my provider, he's my healer, he's the one who loves me, he's the one who gives me purpose." And it was an amazing feeling to be in this room where all these people are just shouting out, "Here's who God is to me." And I started to think about our church and I wonder, why have we come to worship today? Is it because we know him as our Lord, as our Father, as the one we want to follow, as our healer, our provider, our protector? Or is it just because this is what we do on Sundays? Because here's something I want you to know, church is a really boring hobby. Okay, if this is what you do for entertainment on Sunday, there's reruns of Office on Sundays, so you can watch those. Church comes alive when we know why we're here, when the Holy Spirit is our guide, and when we're here to honor a Father who loves us through the presence of a Son who will show us what it's like. Why do we worship? Here's another one. Are you dialed into your family? This is a big one for me with Hannah being pregnant right now because I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. And I know, and some of you are probably like me, it's really easy just to kind of do my own thing when I get home. I can go upstairs, watch some TV. She's downstairs watching TV. And it can be really easy because I'm tired and it's the end of the day just to disengage. But I want you to know, I want everybody to listen to me. God has such a plan for your family. He has such a desire to shape your children's hearts, to bring your marriage to a new place of fullness and a new place of love for one another. And we have this opportunity to partner with him in bringing that to pass in our family. And so husbands, let me just ask, how are we doing at shepherding our family? Are we dialed in? Are we engaged? Because here's what'll happen. The scripture says that word husband is like a gardening word. And so we're tilling the soil for the fruit in our family to grow, for fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, righteousness. And as a father, as a husband, we've got to be dialed in. We've got to be thinking, God, what are some ways I can disciple these people? What are some ways I can love them and show them that I care for them? And when you'll do that, the scripture says fruit will begin to arise. Let's talk about this one. What about free time? And I had a hard time deciding on whether or not I wanted to talk about this one, because sometimes when people talk about this, it can get kind of legalistic. Like, here's what you should watch, here's what you shouldn't, here's what you should listen to, here's what you shouldn't. And all I can say is this: you've got to decide for yourself. Is the stuff that I'm giving my time to edifying my soul? Does it shape my mind to want to know Jesus? Does it shape me to love him? Does it build me up? Does it provide me with rest? Or am I just numbing the frustration, the pain that I want to get away from? Because friend, God has given you this great opportunity to rest in his perfect Holy Spirit. Here's the last one, and I think we can all relate to this. Are we dialed into our words? Are we thinking about what we say? There's a guy that used to work here, his name was Tim Lucas. And I remember one time he said, Jake, if we spoke the amount of words the Bible tells us to speak in a given day, we'd only talk for about 30 words and we'd be quiet the rest of the day. And I don't know about you, but that just hit me like a brick, because I thought, man, I run my mouth a lot. I say a lot of stuff I do not need to say. And I wondered, am I dialed into my words? Do I think about the impact that they're having? Or am I just talking to hear myself talk? Does anybody else do that? Do you just talk and you find yourself like, I think I sound really great right now. Let me continue to espouse this awesome idea that everybody needs to hear. That's me to a T. I think my idea is the best. And I've got to ask myself, am I dialed into what I'm saying? Is it edifying? Am I building it up? Am I being considerate of the people I talk to? Am I as good a listener as I am a talker? That's a good question. Do I do just as good a job of leaning in and going, what are you saying, to preparing? Most people I find are just reloading in conversation, waiting for their chance to say what they think. But am I dialed in? Am I saying, God, use my words. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. In the Psalms, it says, set a watchman at the door of my mouth. Set a guard here so that I don't say anything that hurts anybody. In 2 Timothy, it says, avoid irreverent chatter. Like, don't waste your time with worthless words. I love that. As a believer, as a body of believers, are we speaking words that are edifying? You see, friends, when we make it a priority to learn about him, when we inspect those thoughts that we're thinking, when we don't just settle for head knowledge, but we seek heart knowledge, and when we're dialed in to how we're living day to day, we'll begin to love God with all of our mind. And what'll happen is you'll begin to experience his love. This is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. If you read all the New Testament letters, almost all of them begin with a prayer from Paul. To the Ephesians, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would have the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you would know what is the hope to which he's called you, that you would be strengthened with might through the Spirit in your inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would have power to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, that you would know the love of God which surpasses knowledge, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. To the Philippians, he said, I prayed that your love would abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, that you would approve what is excellent, that you would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, that you would be filled with the fruit of knowledge. For the Colossians, he says, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you could lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And to that I say amen, church. We want to know Christ. We want the mind of Jesus, and we want to love him with all. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. And we're thankful this morning for the knowledge that you've given us. I'm blown away by the promise that I have the mind of Christ living in me. The Holy Spirit is my guide. He teaches me all things. And Father, I can actually know you. I don't just have to read your word and see what it says about you, but I can actually, because of the Spirit, practice those things and know you by experience. And so I pray for those in this room who need your peace today, that they wouldn't just hear me tell them you could give them your peace, but Father, they would pour their anxieties out on you and trust that you have your hand on their life and they would live in your peace. I pray for those this morning who need your wisdom, that Father, they would call out and believe the scripture in James 1, that you give your wisdom to all without finding fault, that you don't look at us and wait for us to clean ourselves up before you want to help us. You help us right where we are. I pray for those this morning who need to know that they're loved, that they wouldn't just hear us say to them, God loves you, but that something in their soul could come alive this morning and they could grab hold of the truth that because of Jesus dying on the cross for them, they can be a child of God. God, would you take knowledge much further than the head and take it deep into our heart? And then God, I pray that out of that heart knowledge, out of that experience of your love, day to day, we would be engaged with what your Holy Spirit is doing in our worship life, in our work life, in our family life, in our words, in our actions. Would you bring us alive in your presence? Would you help us to be engaged? God, we don't want mindless Christianity. We don't want to just wander from thing to thing without purpose. We want your vision and the joy that you've set before us of becoming like Jesus to be our drive. Father, we love you. As we get ready to respond to this time, would you fill our hearts with your presence today in a new way, a fresh way? We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.